Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
I know that I've told you that I'm leaving for the UK, but I don't think I've been completely upfront with you. See, the reason I'm going to the UK, yes, my wife needs a new start and all that kind of stuff, but actually the real reason is the end is coming. The end is coming. And it's coming real soon. Now, I don't know whether you've seen the billboard, since we're actually sitting here in Sydney right now, but actually just up the road, there is a billboard. It's one of many that are going up around the world. There's at least a couple in Sydney. There's some in Brisbane. There are some in other cities around Australia as well. And basically the idea is this, that May 21 is Judgment Day. October 21 is the end of the world. So this really is my final show, folks. And in fact, it's your final show as well. Look, seriously, this is a pretty amazing movement. Whether it be that or whether it be the Mayan prophecy, you've heard about the Mayan prophecy that suggests that December 21, 2012 is actually the end of the world. Whether it be the new James Redfield, the New Age author, his new book, or a number of other things. There seems to be this growing trend of people who actually say the end of the world is coming within the next few months. Now, what are we to make of it? Why is it happening now, and where do you think that we should, go with it in terms of our own minds? Well, that's why I thought we'd best talk to theologian Ross Clifford from Sydney's Moreland College. Please welcome him. This current trend of apocalyptic thinking, it is fascinating.
It's fascinating, Sheridan, and it's out there. I mean, across religious traditions, there's this great sort of sense that we're in some sort of apocalyptic end times. It's extraordinary. Mm.
So we've got the billboard campaign up the road, which is actually happening around the world. It's not just the billboards. The billboards are going up. But as well as that, there are volunteers that are being trained all around the world to be handing out pamphlets, and they're wearing T-shirts saying, Judgment Day, May 21, get ready. Judgment Day, May 21, get ready. But then it's not just that. Then there's the Mayan prophecy thing.
The Mayan prophecy, and there's a great deal of interest in that because they kind of think, it's a bit hard to tell, but they kind of think that the Mayans thought that the sun was God and the Milky Way was entry to the afterlife, and when there's a conjunction of the sun and the Milky Way in Mayan sort of prophecy, you get a big cycle taking place, and some say that's happening in 2012, this big cycle of conjunctions taking place, and he had the movie 2012, mm-hmm. and James Redfield in his new book, and he gave us a Celestine prophecy that sold millions of books around the world, all part of new spirituality. His new book, The 12th Insight, he's playing off the book of Revelation, the Mayan prophecy, the whole lot, and talking about a new day is coming where we've got harmony. There's going to be a rapture, but for him, the rapture is all of common humanity coming to an understanding that we can have the divine presence upon us, and that's going to happen in 2012. So, mate, it's on.
It certainly is, within the next kind of 12, 18 months or so.
Good time to go.
It's a good time to go, yeah. Like I said, I'm on my way out. Now, what I want to know is, when you kind of combine all of that with then what we've seen in Japan and then the Queensland floods, Christchurch, Haiti, who had the 2004 Asian tsunami, I mean, it's not hard to put all those things together and go, gosh. Now, what do you think? Do you think we're actually seeing an increase of world disasters like that, earthquakes, tsunamis, etc.? Or simply because of the invention of modern media, and even now with social media, with Twitter, with TweetPic, with every camera, every phone now having a camera on it, is it simply that we're hearing more about those earthquakes and things?
I think it's both, Sheridan. I was talking to the CEO of a major aid agency, and he was saying in the Asia-Pacific region, and that's where we get most of the world's natural disasters, over the last decade they've increased fivefold, up until an average of around 250 per year, fivefold. And there's no doubt, I mean, Bangkok, it almost seems that every second day you just hear about something. I mean, I was in an ambulance just on the day of the Christchurch disaster being taken to hospital, and the two ambulance drivers, you know, just started a conversation about what I did. I told them, and they turned to me and said, "Is this the last days?" And I said, "What are you, churchgoers?" And I said, "No." One of them said my grandfather was an Anglican minister. The other one said kind of interested in, you know, Mayan philosophy, etc. And so there's a conversation, me going to the hospital, talking about what's this all about. So, yeah, look, there's no doubt. I think there's a lot of people saying, you know, there's an incredible increase of what's going on. But on top of that, there's no doubt social media, social networking, the lot, we sit and we see the world's disasters now like we never did before. I mean, we're sitting there watching that tsunami. I mean, that triple punch of the earthquake, tsunami, and the nuclear meltdown in Japan, and we're watching it. I mean, watching it tearfully, just saying what's next, and we're drawn into it. So I think both are happening.
We're asking the question, is the word end of the world just about to happen, just around the corner? Ross Clifford is with us. This is Open House right across the nation. Let's talk about this particular campaign that has caught a number of people's attention, with the billboards going up. Judgment Day, May 21. And then later on, if you read the literature a little bit further, you find out that the end of the world is coming on October 21, according to these people. Now, the background is a US radio preacher named Harold Camping. And he has come up with this fairly inventive reading of Scripture.
Nice way of putting it.
Trying to be diplomatic as to how he arrives at May 21 and October 21. Let's just touch on the mathematics of it.
Yeah, look, he takes Genesis chapter 7, verse 4, and he goes back to the Noah flood. And if you remember, Noah's told to get the ark ready and the like and build the ark. And in Genesis 7, 4, Noah's told to go into the ark in 7 days. Mm-hmm. Because in 7 days, you know, the heavens are going to open and the big flood comes and there's going to be destruction. And he takes those 7 days Noah's got to go into the ark to equal 7,000 years based on 2 Peter 3, 4. A day is like 1,000 years in the eyes of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And he's calculated when this all took place in Noah's time, and he adds 7,000 years to it, and guess what? He gets to 2011 and May 21. So he takes those 7 days that Noah's been told he's got before he goes into the ark, he makes them 7,000 years, and he says, we're going to get what Noah got, and that's what's going to happen, and he plays on that seven in Genesis 7:4.
Okay. Now, the thing that gets me a little bit is the fact that in the same verse in 2 Peter says, you know, a day is like 1,000 years in the eyes of the Lord. It continues on and says 1,000 years like a day, but I guess that hasn't been taken into account. Mucks up the mathematics a little bit. Now, so where else do you think? Where do you think this goes wrong?
Well, it goes wrong from Genesis 7:4 to begin with, because it's not actually going forward. I mean, 7 has a deeper meaning, but if you just go back a few chapters, God's created the world in 7 days and he's rested. And what God is saying here, you've got 7 days, you've got time, but he's giving an image in 7 days is going to come destruction and I'm going to undo my creation. That's the whole implication of it. The seven's being played again. The reader's reading this thinking, what's this seven here? Oh, he made the world in 7 days. Wow. But in 7 days, he's going to undo what he made because of sinfulness. That's what it's playing on. And in 2 Peter 3, 4, people are saying, God's slow, where is he? Jesus is coming back. That's what we're told. He's not coming back. Where is he? You know, is this all a broken promise? Is this, you know, is Jesus the ultimate politician? Where is he? He hasn't come back. And the writer says to us, no, a day is like 1,000 years for the Lord. You know, you might think he's slow, but no, you know, Jesus is going to come back, but in God's time, no hurry, folks. And in fact, he's giving time because he wants plenty of people to be saved. So this whole play of Genesis up to 2 Peter 3, 4 is just a nonsense. I mean, Genesis 7, 4 is talking about creation being undone, and 2 Peter 3, 8, the day is like 1,000 years, is just reminding us that God's got plenty of time. And if Jesus is coming back, he's coming back, if that's the promise. And don't get caught up with our time frames about it. It might seem long, but it's not in God's economy. That's what he's saying.
Okay. So let's recap then on what Jesus actually said. The reason why this would have captured so many people's attentions in the first place is simply because there are very devout believers all around the world who take Jesus' words very seriously when he did talk about coming back, and the scriptures actually talk about him coming back. And so when you add all this up, I guess, and you see the world wars and you see the tsunamis and the earthquakes, you kind of go, okay, well, maybe this makes sense. And then add, I guess, a fairly charismatic person that's saying in the video that I saw was really saying, look, every Christian in particular, every Christian has actually a moral obligation to run out into the streets and warn of the coming devastation. What did Jesus really say?
Well, Jesus did say he's coming back, Sharon. He made that very clear. And he did say there are signs. He did talk about famine. He did talk about wars and rumours of wars. He did talk about, in Matthew 24, about the gospel going out through the whole world, and people around the world will hear the message. So, and he did talk about birth pangs. He said, you know, before he comes back, it's like birth pangs. You know, it's going to get more and more intense. So he did talk about those sort of signs. I mean, some of those signs were related to the destruction of Jerusalem that took place in 70 AD, but no doubt some of the signs go on, I think, today. So there are signs, and Jesus said, when you see these things, be aware. But also he told his disciples in Acts chapter 1, you're not to know these days. You're not to know what the time of God is. That's not your job. Your job is to get out there and live for Jesus and share the message and be Jesus' people. Mm. You're not to know what day it is. So how come we've got people, and this guy's already got it wrong once before. He said about 1994, I think. How come we've got these people out there saying, well, this is the day, it's May 21, when they're trying to be honest to Jesus, and Jesus said, well, come on. Mr. Camping, you don't know the time. It's not for you to know. All I'm saying to you is the world's not perfect. It's going to be redeemed. And when you see signs that remind us of the imperfection of the world, reach out and care and justice, reach out to alleviate. But do be aware that the world is saying it is awaiting the day of the coming King. But you are not to know what that day is. So look, see, be concerned, share, bring justice. But no, we're going to be accountable. Yeah, this is saying to us, be ready. But, you know, but it's not telling us to say May 21 based on Genesis 7:4 and 7 days given to Noah.
Mm-hmm. Here's my concern, Ross, is the fact that some people will know that the end of the world has been prophesied numerous times by a variety of religious organisations. I think of one organisation that said that 1975 was going to be the end of the world, and the amount of people that lost their faith as a result of 1975 coming and going was really quite significant. I'm a little bit worried about May 22 and October 22, and when the things that were supposed to happen on May 21 and October 21 don't actually happen, and the people's faith is actually going to be rocked. Mm. That's my concern.
I agree with you. That will happen. And I know people that has happened too, because we've done what we've been told not to do and put a date to it. So I think we need to be aware of that. But I think at the same time, we ought to be aware that out there in our world with economic meltdown, materialism not being enough, people searching for deeper meaning to life and looking for the restoration of our creation, we want to be part of it, but looking for something beyond that in a new day, we ought to be aware also this is just a wonderful time to tell people that in Jesus there's a confidence that there is a new day and that we can live that sort of life that points to that now. So I agree, it's a dangerous time, we shouldn't do this, people could lose their faith. But on the other side of it, if we just sit around and think nothing's happening around there, mm-hmm. we'll miss an opportunity where across religious traditions, new spirituality and elsewhere, people are asking, what's going on? Is there a deeper meaning to all of this? I mean, you know, what's the heartbeat, you know? What's God saying to us? Mm.
So the final word really is, it's going to happen. Jesus is coming back. That's really the hope of Christians. It's been the hope of Christians for 2,000 years. Mm. It's going to happen at some stage. Just don't get too caught up on the dates.
Whether you're in Oxford or England or here in Sydney, Sheridan, it's going to happen.
I thought Oxford was the holy place. The inner sanctum would be, I'm going to Oxford, if you don't know. That's true, actually. Leaving the show was not actually going to be protecting me at all. Please thank theologian Ross Clifford.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.